So it's clear from the Mishnah in the Simchas Yevamos that if a woman falls for Yibum when she's a Nida, Yibum goes on. Yibum doesn't take place when she's a Nida, she has to go to the mikvah, but clearly she is chayavis in Yibum or Chalitza. The Gemara says that Beferish Masechas Pesachim, that there's Yibum and Chalitza, no, not a Shaila. So the Rishonim are barred with the Kasha, conceptually, why? What happened to the Din of Arayas? So the Tosha says something a little bit on Bezim and Aleph, and the Tosha Rush elaborates a little bit more than any Rabbi Natan. The Rabbi Natan answered this Kasha by saying that the Ptur of Yibum and Chalitza only applies to a woman who is a Erva. Nida is not an Erva, says Rabbi Natan. Nida is an Isser, it's an Isser Karis, it's a Chomer, but it's not an Erva. Why is it not an Erva? So Rabbi Natan says, because she's a Asur L'Kol Olam. The only time you say there's a parish of Gilead Arayas is only Asur Lazeh Umuteres Lazeh. That was Rabbi Natan's Raya from the Mishnah in Masechet Yevamos. Sure, I have different answers to that Kasha. Then Rabbi Natan goes one step further and says, I'll prove to you that a Nida is not an Erva again. Because we all know that a woman is believed to say she went to the mikvah, didn't go to the mikvah to the bedikas. Gemara says, "V'sofra lo liatzma." The woman has an emunah to say that she went to the mikvah. So, esu benatam ein dover should be erva pachas mishnayim. The Gemara in Gittin says that any case of gilui arayis should require two edim to say a woman is mekudesh, say megureshes. So, say any parsha of arayis requires two edim. So, how could it be that the Torah sets up a model of believing the woman? See from here that nida is not nervous. So, benatam has this convincing argument that not everyone was convinced by that a nida is not nervous. So the Rambam happens to disagree with that. The Rambam holds that Anida is a full-fledged Erva. The Rambam in the Chazisha, the Rambam writes explicitly that Anida is considered to be a full-fledged Erva. So why is there no Yibam? So there are other reasons given in Rishonim. Why is the woman a menace as an Erecha? There are other reasons given in Rishonim. So why is the condition toasted according to the Rambam? That even though condition shouldn't have been toasted, she should have been labeled as an Erva, and she is an Erva, even the Maskadosh is an Erva, as a quirk, as a yitzur kalsim, as a kalsim, the condition of tosin. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees there's an issur kares for nida. Everyone agrees condition of tosin. There's a conceptual machlokes: is she an erva with a kalsim, the condition of tosin, or is she not an erva altogether? Might have kamina. At the end of the day, the condition of tosin. What's the difference? So the Gemara says in kedushin, in the third parak, that there's an issur lechatchila to be mekadesh an erva. Let's say a brother goes up to a sister, hands her a ring, and says, "The Rebbe Kodesh is lit." So if you would have asked me, I would have said, "That's a joke. It's a late tzonus." He said, they didn't accomplish anything. What kind of condition is that? So the Gemara seems to say in condition that you're right. Nothing happened. But Alpha Bichain, it says, "Isha lachos lo sika halosh lav." You're not allowed to make a make-believe condition with an Rebbe. Even though nothing, absolutely nothing happened, just a maisa condition, albeit without a halos condition, is problematic with a woman who is an Rebbe. So comes Bichas Chinuch and starts to collect all the pieces of this puzzle. He says as follows: Anida is a full-fledged Erva, and really, kedushin shouldn't have been toasted, and really, there should have been an Issa to be Mekadeshah. So the Torah is Mekadesh, that kedushin of toasted, but the Rambam holds, the Torah was not Mekadesh that she's not an Erva. She is an Erva. The Rambam says, Befeinu, she's an Erva. She's an Erva with Tfizis kedushin. Says Bichas Chinuch, the Torah was mechadish that kedushin of tosin, but the Torah was never mechadish that the isser lekadish falls off. So the isser lekadish as an erva is in full force when it comes to an isha nida, even though the kedushin are going to be tosin with the other. So it says Bichas Chinuch, that's what the Rambam meant. And the Rambam says that you shouldn't be mechadish an isha when she's a nida, not because you're afraid harchokish you're going to touch her, maislach or haigon the commission. Nah, says Bichas Chinuch, it's a isser deraisa. It's an issa deraisa to give a ring to a woman who's an erva, and a nida is included, even though the kedushin will be toasted with the nida, that's after the fact. But lechatchila, it's still the isur okoi. That's Bechas Chinuch's pshat. So it's a very, very difficult pshat in the Bechas Chinuch with Dasa Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't say it's also a kadosh as a nida. The Rambam says, ain't roi. The Rambam says, you shouldn't. The Rambam says, it's not right to be a kadosh as a nida. According to Bechas Chinuch, it's a very, very low key phrase for this is deraisa. According to the Baki Mishnah of Haigon, it's a hachok, it's a chumrug, it's a rishonim gemusar, not even a din mikra, a din the Gemara. So you understand why the Rambam writes such a parable lashon, it's not right to do it. According to the Chiddush, it's more than not right. You wouldn't write, it's not right to eat chazer. It's not right to eat chazer. It's a gomer, it's a malchus to eat chazer. So the Rambam wouldn't have written it in such a toned down the pshat. It's a very, very difficult Bechas Chinuch. But when all the dust settles, we're stuck because, you know, in the days of the Rambam, they didn't really plan weddings in the sense of, you know, doing invitations and everything. They planned, okay, Tuesday afternoon we're going to have a kiddushin. And it turns out the girls didn't cancel, push off till next week. What's the big deal? This man is that we try as hard as we can, the woman shouldn't be a nida. And now we goof, her pills don't work properly. She ends up being a nida. We're going to cancel the whole wedding, send out the email saying don't show up till next week because the woman is a nida. That's ridiculous. So we're not going to do that. So the answer is we're not going to follow this. We have no choice. It's not listen there, Aisa, not like the Mechaz Chinuch. It's only a, it's not even Medina de Gemara. It's a Chokha B'Yalma, it's a Chubba B'Yalma. So Rechia got a little nagu, such a Mokham Hefse Beruba, such an unbelievable loss of money to push off a wedding. We're not going to be so concerned with this Chubba of the Rambam. So that's what that minig is. That it turns out that the couple, that the woman is a Nida. So if the show will go on, they're going to give the condition anyway. So what should you do? Try to be careful not to touch. So different posts give different rabbanim, have different nates then do it. Some say just drop it into here, and some say just put it on quickly and just try as best as you can not to touch. If you touch, do it. It's the end of the world. It's Shalom Derechim anyway. It's not the end of the world. So we try to do it in a way that it's not Nogei B'Bsara. What about after the Kedushin is already done and now you want to hand the Ksuba? So we have the Minig to hand the Ksuba to the wife. It's not a din, you know, Mamash HaTin, you wrote the Ksuba, so the Ksuba is not finished. So the minute you hand it over to the wife, because the wife has to hold it, the Ksuba says that the wife has to always have access to the Ksuba, the Ksuba disappears, so then you have to write another Ksuba. So that's a din with the Rabbanan. But even though the Ksuba is still binding, even if the wife can't find the Ksuba, and they get divorced, she can come to a din Torah and still collect the Ksuba. Afapichein, with the Rabbanan, she has to hold on to the Ksuba, that she should feel secure with it. She shouldn't feel the husband's going to take advantage of her and divorce her whim. So with the Rabbanan, they're not permitted to be together unless she has access to the Ksuba. She doesn't have to walk around the whole life with the Ksuba in her pocket, but she has to have pretty free access to know where it is and be able to get to it as easily as possible. So the minig is that right after the ksuba is read, so we hand over the ksuba, the husband hands over the ksuba to the kala. So the post can point out that if the woman is in need, then you really shouldn't do that, because at that point they're already married. So at that point, already the chok has already kicked in, and the older chok of last week, of not handing things, really should apply. So you hand it to the mother, you hand it to the kedusha, and nobody's going to paying attention to what's going on. You do it in a very quick, unassuming way. That she ends up, the whole thing is not a din anyway. So you try to avoid. It shouldn't be uncomfortable under the chuppah. But I'll call upon all these cases of chuppahs nida, which we try to avoid for two reasons. We try to avoid because of the Rambam Shita that yichud won't be able to be done, so we're not going to do the nesuin properly. And we try to avoid it because of the Rambam's issue of kedusha nida not being appropriate. And we try to avoid because of all the technical issues involved. But at the end of the day, sometimes it happens. So when it happens, so you just give the ring and try as best as you can, and you give the ksuba away. You finagle a little bit that it shouldn't be a violation of any halacha. Okay, that was all the shrivel last week.
The concept of halacha, not handing a ksuba, applies even in public.
Yeah, so the harchomas generally do apply in public. We try to chochamina barosha. We obviously don't want to draw attention to what's going on, but there's no heter per se just because it's in public. So all the harchomas do apply in public. You have to be smart. You have to try to figure out. So the next of the marmakomos, we now start on page 14. So back to the next of the harchomas. The next Hachakas happens to be one of those Hachakas that appears not only in the Gemara, it actually appears in the Mishnah. So we started the series of Hachakas. We mentioned some of the Hachakas are potentially derises. Many of them are derabanan, some of them are only betaras, but hagim and chumras. So this next one is a real Hachakah me'ikir adin. It's actually a Mishnah in the Masechta Shabbos of all places. It's together with a list of other gezeiros derabanan. They almost got lumped together, even though it has nothing to do with Shabbos per se. But it's a Mishnah. Then the Bryce elaborates upon it, so it's in the first of the Marmikomos on page 14, where it's CD 32, Achakos Be'achila. So Tanya, the first line, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Bo Re'ei Arhechad Partza Tahara B'Yisrael. He said, if you want to see just how people are Machbet on Tumah V'Tahara, but for us today, Tumah V'Tahara is a foreign concept. But in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, so people were very Machbet on Tumah V'Tahara. That was actually the demarcation to the people who are really from, people who aren't so from. That's what the Chaverim and the Ami Aretz. We use the term Ami Aretz today to mean a person who's not learned. Ami Aretz in the days of Chazal meant much more than not being learned. Ami Aretz meant that they weren't so careful in different areas of Halacha. So some of the areas of Halacha they weren't careful in was the area of Tumah V'Tahara, some of the areas of Zeroim, of Maisers they weren't so careful in. And that set up almost like two different systems and two different groups in Klal Yisrael. There were the people who were the Chaverim and the people of the Ami Aretz. And because they had to deal with the Ami Aretz, they had problems because sometimes things that the Ami Aretz were giving you were not up to par in terms of Hichos Tumah V'Tahara. So Tumah V'Tahara was a big issue in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in the days of Beis Rishon, so in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, So he was so careful to make sure that people were makbid into Mitara. So they sent messages throughout all of Klai Israel, and they tested people in Tumah Mitara, and they realized that even the little kids were proficient in the Tumah Mitara. They knew exactly what. Again, it's not fair to us, but it's like kashrus for us. You know, the same way that we hope that people are proficient in how to run a Jewish home, you know, kashrus, you know, tefillas kelim, you know, bas mechalav, you know, how to keep two sets of dishes. You know, those are things that every little kid knows. So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, every kid knew. Tumah Mitara, it was a Rishon, it was a Sheni, it was a Sheres, it was a Bera. They knew the basic ABCs of Tumah Mitara. So comes the Brice and says that Bo Rei Ahei compared to the Tahara of Yisrael, look how careful people were about Tahara. Shaloshanin la yochel atar imatumeya. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that a person who's Tahor can't eat with his wife when she is Tumeya, because that would have been an Isra of HaChokhah. That's not the way the HaChokhah is presented, that an Adam Tahor shouldn't eat with his wife when she's Asura, because he would never do that anyway. Forget about Isra. Nobody would ever think of eating with a person who's Tumeya, because it's going to be a Balagan and Tumah Mitara. I'm going to sit and eat food with someone who's tamei. They're going to pass me the food, and they're going to make the food tamei. I want to be tahor. I want to eat food that's tahor. So that wasn't even on the radar screen to tell me. Chazal didn't have to bother to tell me lo yochal tahor mitmeya. Ella, what was the lashon of the Mishnah? Lo yochal azavim azava. They're both tamei. The husband's tamei and the wife's tamei. So in terms of tumah v'tahara, nobody cares anyway. Everyone's tamei, and still the Mishnah says they shouldn't eat together. Bnei hergal aveira. That they shouldn't eat together because of the hachafah, that if they eat together, they're going to have a romantic meal together. Next thing you know, they're going to be chayti together. So therefore, the Brais is just highlighting the fact that even in a situation where Tumah Mitara doesn't have to be reckoned with, because he's Tami, she's Tami, so what's the difference? Ava b'chein, there's an issa d'rabbanon, l'yoich l'tari v'tmei, l'yoich l'zav mezava, v'pnei hergal aveira. So this is quoted in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, and this is an official hachafah, that a couple are not permitted to eat together when she is in Ida. The question, of course, becomes, what does that mean? What do those words mean? They're not allowed to eat together. So the Rambam, in the second Limam Mekamos, puts this together with many of the other Hakakas. So the Rambam writes, in Uchzei Surabiyah, break it out, L'chichas, V'asal adam shidabek v'ishto v'shivas yomim nekiyam elu. First, the Rambam spoke about when she's Mama Shanida, and then, even though the bleeding has stopped, now she's in Shiva Nekiyam. The Rambam says, Shiva Nekiyam are the same as the regular time, she hasn't gone to the mikveh yet, so she's a full-fledged Nida, all the achakas apply. So the Rambam says a person shouldn't be close to his wife, shouldn't touch his wife, even during Shiva Nekiyam. V'yafa pisha hibik susa, even though they're both duressed, that's still aser. V'lo yikra v'lo, shouldn't come too close to, v'lo yigaba filu b'yetzpektana, that's a quote right out of the Gemara Masech HaShabbos, that's the iser. The Rabbanan of filu b'yetzpektana means, even though it's not in a romantic way, it's just in, you know, even that's prohibited. And he shouldn't eat with her in one plate. So the Rambam is paraphrasing the Mishnah, the Brites of the Masechah Shabbos, and he's learning that la yochal iba means they shouldn't share a bowl together, they shouldn't eat a plate together. That the basic ruler, says the Rambam, that he should treat her during the days of counting Shemini Kiyum the same as regular Yimei Nidas. Because there's no difference whether she's actively bleeding or not. It doesn't matter. If she hasn't gone to the mikveh, she's in Nida Gemura. So the Rambam, in quoting that, that is the Rabbanon of eating with her. So the Rambam put a big, big limitation, put a big break, a big cool on it, and said, the Isser is if you're eating Bikara Achas. So if a couple wants to munch on a bowl of popcorn together, that's a problem. But if he's eating his piece of chicken, she's eating her piece of chicken, eating in two different plates, so the Rambam says, that's okay. That's not the violation of L'yochal Ima. So the Ravid writes that that's not correct. The Ravid has a comment on the bottom of the Rambam. Kasva Ravid Zal Omer Avram Anu Nogim Afilo Ashulchan Echad. The Ravid says that our practice. The Ravid lived in Provence, in southern France. So he writes that our minhag is even on Shulchan Echad, even on one table, that would be a problem. V'chein Kasva Rav Achai Zal. And he quotes this from the days of the Gaon, from the Shiltos, that the Isra applies even if it's on the same table, even if it's not necessarily from the same bowl. The Rosh has another kula in this. The Rosh in the third of the Rambam Kamos. The Rosh says, "U'mashir regilin achshav lechol and ishtol nida b'shulchan echad." The Rosh lived in Germany and later in Spain. So you have all three Jewish communities in the Middle Ages being represented. So there were three major, major different groups of Jews in the Middle Ages. There was a Jewish community of Chachmei Ashkenaz, that was Germany and France, the Rashi and the Balei Tosfos, Rutenberg, the Mordechai, and the Rosh, that was one whole group, which were most of us are descendants from that group of people, that's the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Then you had the Chachmei Sfarad, you had the combination of Spain and North Africa, that was the Rambam and the Ramban and the Rashi and the Ran, that became the background to the Most of the Jews, they don't have Mizrach today, the descendants of those Jews. And then there was a third Jewish community in southern France. The Jewish community in southern France was Provence. In the Middle Ages, northern France and southern France were like two different worlds. They were different malchus, they were different reigns, different kings. They had nothing to do with each other. So the Jews of southern France, of Provence, were close to the Jews of Italy. So that was a third Jewish community. So that Jewish community was the Raivin and the Miri and others who came from the Chachmim Unil came from that group. So the whole Jewish community was three different groups. So now you have, within the three different groups, you have representations about this minhag. So the Rambam is telling you what he did with the Jews in Spain and North Africa and Egypt, what they were doing. They were eating together with their wives as long as it wasn't the same bowl. That was all right. And the Rebbe is telling you in southern France, he said, we weren't doing that. We're not eating together. And the Rosh is telling you what's going on in Germany. The Rosh is saying, So the Rosh is trying to defend the practice in Germany that they used to eat together with their wives on the same table. So he doesn't quote the Rambam. He says, says in the olden days, the tables were very, very small. They were almost like little trays. Those remember from Maseches Pesachim. The Mishnah says in Pesachim that when it came time for the Seder, they would, in the middle of the Seder, they would pick up the table and move the table out. Why did they move the table out? To get the kids to ask questions. So the Rishonim, right, we don't do that Bismarck. We don't pick the whole table up. Why? In the olden days, tables were not a big table like that. Everyone had their own little tiny table. So it was very easy to pick up the table from the person leading the Seder, put it into the kitchen, everyone started to ask what's going on. Today, we're going to pick up the whole, we have 30 people around the table, we're going to pick the whole table up, so everything's going to fall on the floor, we're going to be a big balagan. So that's what we have a minute today. We don't pick up the whole table by the Manishan, we pick up the Seder plate. Because that's a zecher. It's to remember that in the olden days, the Friat HaGadaris used to pick up the whole table. So the best we can do is we pick up the Seder plate, we put it on the side, and the Bala Seder holds it on his lap while they're saying the Manishan to get the kids to ask the questions a little bit more. So the Rosh writes that if you live in a community like Neza Chazal, they have little tiny tables, and the husband and wife are eating together at the same table, even though they're eating from different plates, that's derechiva. That's, I don't usually share my table with somebody. Share my little airline, a pack on my little airline tray together. I would only do that with my wife. So that's called derechiva. So that's like it's a savit. That's like the wife setting the bed for you, busy is coast, like pouring your wine. That's like pouring water, preparing water for you. And this is the Rosh. We're eating at this humongous table. Ain't a derechiva. He says, that's not derechiva bechlal. That issa doesn't apply to zman hazeh, the way we have larger tables.
Does that mean that if someone on like an airplane?
Right, we'd we'll be eating together on the small thing, that would be also even according to the Rosh, right? Yeah. That's right. So then the Rosh writes, v'yesh osin heke b'neim, and there are some who don't want to rely on this kula. There are some people in the Ashkenazi communities who would put down something on the table to remind them. Like the Gemara in Chulin, about if two people eating on the same table, one eating milchiks, one's eating fleshiks, if you put something down that's strange and doesn't belong, that could serve as a heker to remind them not to be chayte.
So going back for a second, this whole thing is based on the Gemara and
Mishnah. Right, the Gemara Yochel,
but the Gemara was during a time when they were concerned about Tumu. Neither was a din in Tumu v'Tahara. It wasn't necessarily a din in... Meaning, I thought that we had learned originally that Bizman said there is no Tumu v'Tahara anymore by Nita. So what? The Gemara doesn't talk about Chiba. So
you know, it does. No, that's what the Braisa says. The Braisa says that even Zavim and Zava can't eat together, even though there's no Tumu v'Tahara anymore. They're both Tumu. So there's no concern of anything spreading to him. It's that Bryce, the Bryce that says, even in a situation of Zav Mazava, the Bryce that says, Hergalaveir means Chiba. So we have three shittas in the Rishonim, how this Isser plays out for us, Bizman Hazeh. So according to the Rambam, unless you're munching from a bowl of popcorn together, everything is fine. According to the Raivin, everything is awesome. Anyone on the same table is awesome. And according to the Rosh, depends how big the table is. If it's a small table, very, very small table, then it's a problem. If it's a regular sized table, then it would be okay. How do we paskin halacha ma'aseh bizman hazeh? So our minig is lechumra almost on the shaila. Our minig is lechumra on the shaila that we don't just take the Rambam's approach and say, oh, you're not eating from a bowl of popcorn together, everything is kibbalah. We don't take the approach of Rosh, oh, it's a big table, big deal, it's okay. No, we assume that this issur applies even on a larger table and even if you're not eating from the same bowl. We assume lechumra, that's what our minig is, lechumra on the shaila. However, some achronim write that b'med v'amamurim, that this whole hachok applies, that's when there's nobody else around. And, two people are eating a nice meal together, quietly in the house, nobody's around, so then they shouldn't be eating together at the same table, unless they make some kind of heck, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if they're eating the Shabbos, the kids are running around, there are guests around, the kids are old enough to understand, they're little babies, that's not going to help, but they're old enough kids to understand what's going on, and there are guests around, other people around. So then if they're mamish eating and munching popcorn together, that's one thing. If they're sitting, it's a big table, and there are other people around, and it's not the same bowl anyway. So that's what many people have a practice of doing. So many are making them, all these tzirufim together. Some are running right now. If there are other people around, automatically there's no chiba combined with the shittas around, combined with the shittas arash, put together all these kulas, so yesh bachal hakel. There's someone machmir than this, there's someone machmir, even they won't eat at the same table unless they put a heker, even though there are other people around. I think one definitely has the right to be makel on the shayla. There's so many tzadim, so many opinions in the Rishonim that the whole thing doesn't apply, but it's not as anyway. So, but see if those achron who say that there are other people around, I think yesh bachal hakel. As life goes on, so this hachacha becomes less and less relevant. As the kids are around and the people around the house, so we can count on the fingers of one hand how many times this thing, how many times you really have to be machmir to make a heker. But in a situation where it really does, that one time when the husband and wife are alone in the house and eating dinner, and they're eating at the same table, so they should make a heker. So what constitutes a heker? So the Rush tells you, just ayin huchas bas b'cholof. Whatever's a heker in your Adeya Chelek Aleph, which is the dinner of Bas B'cholof, qualifies as a heker for your Adeya Chelek Beis V'chus Nida. So what is a heker for your Adeya Chelek Aleph? So basically, the Toskim write, that if a person puts something that's abnormal on the table, puts something strange on the table, it wouldn't usually be there. I remember when I was in the dorm, so me and Rabbi Rapp used to be roommates. So there was a table in the room in the Mas dorm. That table had everything under the sun. You know what a Shiva Bacher's table looks like. There's no place to put anything. So the toothpaste was on the table, and the deodorant was on the table, and everything was on the table. So we used to joke that we would sometimes be eating together supper. I'd be eating flesh and milk, etc. So we couldn't think of something to put on the table that didn't belong. So he came up with a Gevalik idea, we should clean the table. He said, that would be an unbelievable hacker. He said, we're going to sit down at a meal, the table's clean, what's going on? It must be, to remind us not to eat possible. So what are some more practical ways of creating a heker? So the Poskim write that if the couple eats on two different tablecloths, so that's also okay. Then the later Poskim say, who says it has to be mamish table? You put down a napkin, you put down a towel, you put down a napkin underneath your plate. So as long as one's eating on the tablecloth and one's eating on a napkin on top of the tablecloth, so that's all. You don't do that normally, so that would be good enough. Then the Poskim have the shadow that's raised. What if the couple are eating flesh and milchiks? He's eating flesh, he's eating milchiks, and she's a nida. Can one heker not go for both? What do I say? The one heker will remind me not to eat the milchiks, but not remind me not to vayachas neither. Two heker, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, so we have to figure it out. But I thought upon him, the din is that the ikra din, according to many Rishonim, this whole thing doesn't apply, but our minig is to be a little more machmer in this. But so we're machmer not to rely outright on the Ram and the Rush, but it seems the fact that other people are around, so then there are mekilim. And again, there are some more machmer even on that. We would insist that I carry him under those circumstances. We'll see next
week. Rukhan is getting up this morning.